We are proud to present Daddy's Outnumbered.
Hey, folks.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Really, they can't answer us.
I know, but you know, maybe they're listening in their car or something. They're like, we are great.
Okay, sure. Like, okay, I guess.
So we're here. We have a special guest, Casey Weishi.
We do. Hi, and Casey.
Hi there.
And we're going to interview her. She has a fabulous book, and mm-hmm. she's got a series that she's putting out. So she is going to be subjected to some random questions.
Yes.
So we'll definitely try and keep it PG a little bit, but have a little fun.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
So let's get into the random questions.
Oh, we're doing that right off the bat. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What is the most annoying color? I could think. I mean, I might get.
So the most annoying color to say is orange.
Orange, because nothing rhymes with it.
Nothing rhymes with it.
That's true.
But I would say the most annoying color would be a neon green for me personally. That hurts my eyes.
Dude, you know what's crazy? I was going to say green too. Even though like all of the earth is green, like most of it, that color just bothers me.
You're gonna hate me for this.
What?
It's yellow. Yellow is
you can leave, babe. Bright. Get out.
Just yellow in general. Nope. I know the sunflowers and
yes,
the sun.
It's a happy color. What's wrong with you? And it's annoying to you?
I think so.
Mm.
Sorry, Casey, if your favorite color is yellow.
No, it's not. My favorite color is blue. So,
oh, that's Steve's favorite color, too.
But I do agree with you. Orange is an annoying color to say.
Yes, that's very true.
It's very confusing. It's like, are you talking about the color? Are you talking about the fruit? What is it?
Yeah. And then again, you can't rhyme anything with it. And, you know, my life right now is rhyming.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's so true.
You can try and rhyme orange. My biggest conundrum right now, thank goodness I don't have to deal with orange, trying to find an animal that starts with the letter X that rhymes with any other word in the English. I've started to look into French and Spanish X animals, and I'm not having luck. So if you know of any, please let me know.
Oh my gosh, I don't think I know of any. Do you?
I don't either.
Don't.
I'm just trying to think of rhyming something with orange.
Right.
Even yellow. Yellow has bellow.
Fellow.
Fellow.
Mellow.
Fellow. Orange. I guess you can make up a word. Blorange.
Blorange.
Yes. I tried to make the word sporn back when I was living in Seattle, and I was like, look, I made up a word that rhymes with orange, and everyone's like, that sounds like a disease.
It's so true. Sometimes they do sound like that. Good move. Okay, ready for the next question?
Let's do it.
I'm ready.
What song would you play if you were at a party?
Oh, okay. Right now, I like, I can't think of the name of it. It's Pink Song.
Oh,
he wants to party.
Get the party started.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know what you mean.
That.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
No
Sorry,
worries.
Brain cramp there.
I'm a big Pink fan, like just a little bit. So I know.
Yes. Oh, she's amazing.
She
I love
is.
Her.
I agree.
Yeah. So that would be if I were at a party and whether the party was going
right
or not going,
either lame
that's
or good.
The song that, yeah, that's yes. where you're like, it's lame, let's get this party
sure.
started.
Yes.
Or it's, you know, peak party,
yeah.
right now's a good time to take it up even more, another notch.
Exactly. Can True. I, can I go? Can I
yeah, go?
Okay, I have mine. The song Yeah by Usher.
Yeah.
That I was like, I don't know, 12 or 13 when it came out, but I love that song to this day. You know me, I rap it yeah. all the time.
Yeah.
It's so good. It just makes you want to dance.
It's funny how we're going like classic right. kind of in a sense.
Yeah,
nothing
well,
new.
I'm a millennial, so what do you want from me?
You know what's funny is because I was going to say Flo Rida. what is it?
Low?
Low.
Low, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apple bottom jeans.
Yes, that
yes.
one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to pick something else.
You thought I was going to go rock, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
But I mean, if you're partying, you want to dance.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, that, we have great taste in music. Can I just say that?
Okay. This might be a little hard to think about, but if you had the world's attention for 30 seconds, what would you say? Like the entire world's attention.
The entire world's attention. I would say, oh goodness.
I know.
This is a hard one.
It is.
It is a hard one. Because you only have 30 seconds and it's, you got to get your message out.
I would, yeah. Oh man, I would talk about Friends, the TV show, and make it funny.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
Okay, I think I know. I think I know what I'd say.
Okay, go ahead.
And it ties into my book, but it's because I'm so conscious of it right now, is personal accountability leads to high self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Be the best you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to fail. It's how you recover that defines you. I'm convinced that our society right now is terrified of failure. And as a result, everyone's just kind of stuck in not being able to... Wait, did I get to 29 seconds yet?
I don't think we were.
I wasn't timing you, but I think she wins. Like, yeah. That's a really good.
Well, wait, I didn't go yet.
Really, what the hell are you going to say?
I would say be yourself. Don't try and be somebody else. Don't try and be that someone in the spotlight. Just be yourself and do you, because you never know who you're going to impact and who you're going to influence by just being yourself and just having fun your own way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I changed.
Did you know?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, today is actually like National Be You Day. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Look at you, babe.
Yeah. You are
tying it
in. Timely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. Alrighty then. See, you guys thought about it. You figured it out.
Impactful.
Right? What would be the best thing about not having a sense of smell? Can I go first? Because I already know my answer. Your farts. Your goddamn farts, babe. I can't. Like, I'm done. I cannot. That would be the best part.
It's a custom smell. It's custom. You should... You're welcome.
No, not everybody gets that custom
fragrance.
That's nasty. every other bit of you that smells good except for that.
I mean, if I could cork myself, I would, but it's been known that you could die.
Yes, I understand that. I understand that. Anyway, somebody else. Best thing about not having a sense of smell.
I would probably eat more food that I don't normally eat.
That's
now,
true.
I'd still be able to taste it, but there's something about smelling and tasting combined that can turn me off to something. I won't even try something if it smells bad. So I'd probably end up tasting more food.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's a good. Yep. More food.
Yeah. Smell and taste kind of tie into each other. So it's definitely something that can turn you off of food.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. You're still thinking, aren't you? I can see your fingers.
For me, it would be not smelling like bad garbage.
I guess. Or dirty diapers, I guess.
Dirty diapers or when the garbage just reeks, and you're taking it out or the trash can reeks. Like, you don't want to smell that.
Oh, so you like my farts? You're so nice.
Mm-hmm. I heard that.
I guess that's what I'm saying.
Works for me. Okay, this is my last question. What part of the human face is your favorite?
The eyes.
The eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Tongue. I'm just kidding. You know why, but yeah. I'm just joking. I would say... I would say, I guess smile, mouth, I don't know.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you on that one. Because, I mean, yes, I think the eyes and the mouth are kind of...
They're there, yeah. No one's going to say nose. I love noses.
Because you can be expressive with your eyes, and I think you can kind of be expressive with your mouth,
that's
too.
That's true.
So.
Emotions. Yeah. Yeah,
you get a lot of... You can read somebody really, really well from those two features.
That's very true. We got good answers. Yeah. That was the last question for random questions.
I think so.
So
those were awesome. I like those. I like this game.
I should have had five more. We could have just done more questions. Right? They're fun.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So, Casey, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you got into being an author?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I am, as I always start out by saying, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a friend, I'm a colleague, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm all these different things. But the thing I am the most is I'm the boss of me. And that's the children's book that I wrote. It's called I'm the Boss of Me. And I came to it late in life, being the boss of me. And I'm trying to get children to learn it early so that they can be the boss of themselves, not bossy, totally different. And it all started with my son being a mouthy, talking back to teachers, little kid in elementary school. So I always say I'm just a mom, which I think is the hardest job in the world. But I say that because I haven't had any explicit training. They just hand you your child at the hospital and say, go home.
Yep, been there, done that. So,
there's no manual for that.
Even every book I read, I sat back and I was like, oh, I got this. They handed me my son and I'm like, you want me to leave? I don't think that's a good idea. I think I should probably stay here for a year or two before I'm ready to, you know, make sure this one stays alive.
Right.
You're trusting me with this child?
Are you sure?
Do you know me?
Exactly. Like, you understand? I mean, I'm a nice person, but I don't know. That's a lot of responsibility.
Right.
I'm just a mom who loves being a mom. I've also been a professional. I have been an executive director for an NFL foundation. I have been I used to appraise diamonds back in my 20s. I was a GIA certified diamond appraiser when I worked at a jewelry store. Wow. I've just done a lot. I haven't followed a career path, as it were. And so here I am in my 50s, and I've finally decided that I was going to publish the little children's book my then 7-year-old son and I wrote 13 years ago when he came home from school with a note from the teacher saying, please tell your son not to call me a liar in front of the entire classroom.
Oh, God.
Sounds like our little Mandy.
Oh, my God. That Mandy would do that. She absolutely would. She already,
but, you know, she's done it.
She's ripped me in preschool. Yeah, she's already told the teacher that I say fuck all the time. So,
oh
yeah,
oh yeah,
it's yeah,
yeah,
it's already started.
Yeah, I have a funny story about the first time my son cussed, and they tell you not to react. So yeah, I sat there and I just froze. I was in the kitchen, and he opened up the refrigerator, and in his little like 2.5, 3-year-old voice, he went, "God damn it." And I froze because I was making sandwiches. I'm like, what do I do? How do I fix this? What have I done wrong? He's obviously going to be a murderer. And I said, I'm like, oh, what's going on there, honey? And he says, we're out of milk. And I went, oh, okay. Well, that's not really the word you want to use there. You want to use something more like, and then I took all the bread and bologna and cheese and everything that was in my hand, and I threw it up in the air, and I went, fiddlesticks! And he fell down on his bottom and started laughing so hard, and the refrigerator door shut on him, and he was cackling, just like, you know, and then I, you know, got everything back together, started making sandwiches again. And then he stood up, still laughing. He opened the door, and he went, fiddlesticks! And I went, what? What's wrong? What happened? He's like, we're out of milk. I'm like, we must go now! And I picked him up, put him in the car, drove to the 7-Eleven, picked up milk, made a big deal out of it. And then I started being careful about cussing, but I can't say that I succeeded. He does have a few choice words that he repeats, and he's 20, and he still repeats them, and I can't tell him to stop at this point. So I feel you.
For
I've been
sure.
told on numerous times too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try not to cuss as much, but I still have my moments.
I'm a lost cause. Sorry. But,
I think we failed on not reacting.
Yeah, we really failed miserably.
But I guess that's where it comes to being the boss of your own mouth. Yeah, I that's guess true. At that point, I guess your book applies to adults too, yeah, there, Casey.
Right?
You'd be surprised. If I could put this book in front of some very choice adults, I would.
Oh yeah.
I'd sit back and go, "Sir, you need to read this. Here you go.
Here you go.
For you.
Take
you
time.
Need to read that. Yeah. If you need to explain anything, you just let me know. I'm right here for you."
Page three is what you should concentrate on.
Exactly. I'd like you to take a look at page seven and tell me right. What do you see from that? But yeah, no, that day he came home from school, I turned and I looked at him. This wasn't the first note home from the teacher, by the way. He had gotten to the point that he would raise his hand and just say, "Can I just go to the principal's office?" Because and the teacher was like, "I think that's an excellent idea. Great way to, you know, make that happen." But on this, you know, on this day, I just looked at him and I'm like, "Honey, why do you keep doing this?" And he looked at me with his cute little eyes and long eyelashes. And he said, "Mommy, I can't help it. It's my mouth. My mouth made me say it." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, you need to be a better, you know, boss of your mouth." And he just looked at me like, "All right, well, you're crazy." So I was like, "Come here." And we went into the study because I realized what I wasn't teaching him was I wasn't teaching him that he was responsible for his actions. I wasn't teaching him personal responsibility. I wasn't teaching him accountability. Mm-hmm. So I went and I got these blank pieces of paper and I wrote a body part on top of each one. I wrote, like, you know, eyes, mm-hmm. ears, nose, mouth, hands, feet, legs, brain, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I asked him to then draw pictures of them. And then I said, "Okay, now let's talk about some of the things that each of these body parts, what they should do. Like, hands should hold something carefully. Mm-hmm. They can clasp. You can shake hands. Like, these are all nice things hands can do." And so we wrote that on the paper. We also talked about what they shouldn't do. They shouldn't hit. I can't think of it. Basically, that was the main thing. But we didn't write it on the paper. We just talked about it. We didn't make it be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes should, you know, close when it's time to go to sleep, see nice things, cry when they're sad. These are all things. And then my big point that I wanted my fabulous son to learn that day was, what are some things mouths can do? And they can eat, you know, good vegetables. They can say nice words in a friendly voice. And they can stay shut. That was my whole premise. Like, you need to keep your mouth shut, honey.
This right. is
a cute picture of a brain. That's a great eyeball. Keep your mouth shut. That was my whole goal.
It's a nice way to say it.
Right.
Right? And be the boss of your mouth. And I said, "Now you need to do all these things. You need to be a good boss of all your body parts so that other people aren't the boss of you, so that other people don't have to be the boss of you." And, you know, so it was teaching him, excuse me, that. And it didn't happen overnight at all, but he's 20 now and he's a great boss of himself.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. That's a good lesson to learn, yeah, I think.
I agree.
I think we all should learn that lesson. I mean, and I said it earlier, but there's a lot of adults that can definitely learn from that and just be the boss of yourself.
That's true.
You should make a book for adults. That's what you need. That should be part of your series.
Yeah, for sure.
It's absolutely, I have 37 working titles. I get new ones daily and I forget others and then I have to go find the list. But I want to do, like, I'm the boss of me in my car. And just think about, you know, somebody getting a new car. Mm-hmm. They let us, again, like, they hand you your child at the hospital and say, "Go away." It's the same thing kind of with your car. Now, they'll email you and text you and tell you about your car's warranty almost being up. But you want to make sure that, you know, what do you do? Well, you change the oil at this time. You rotate the tires in this way. Mm-hmm. When it's snow, you want to drive it this way. Like, I'm the boss of me and my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the boss of me and my taxes, or I'm the boss of me and my relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm the boss of me and my diet. Uh-huh. I'm the boss of me and my, I mean, you can, it's a way, I would love to grow this. And this is down the line. This is, you know, I'm not the boss of being able to figure that out yet. But it's, you know, I want it to be like a dummy series or an idiot's guide series. But I want a professional, you know, industry leader to write it. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to, you know, when you think about it, I want to empower people. I don't want people to be in the dummy section. I want them to be in the boss section.
Right.
I am the boss.
Right.
I can do this.
Right.
It may be hard and I may mess up a bunch of times, but I can do this. Because that's how I feel. I really feel anybody can do anything. And it's by being a boss and being a boss of yourself. So I started with a board book. So I'm going to get them young. I'm going to start them out little and get them to, you know, be the boss of themselves from the littlest things. You can say to a child, hey, do I need to be the boss of you right now? Or are you going to be the boss of your feet and go stand in line over there?
Mm.
Well, right?
I like that.
Or do I need to be the boss of you? Or are you going to be the boss of your teeth and go brush your teeth so that they're healthy?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's a way to really parent, but making them responsible for their life, their body, their actions, their choices.
It gives
them accountability. And when they do something right, they know it's them that did it. And then they have self-esteem like, I can do this. And you start young. And you build and build and build, and you'll have this like generation of can-do kids.
Right.
That, you know, okay, I failed. I did bad. I did this thing wrong. Here's what I learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
So they can fail, but they were being the best boss of themselves, being the best boss of your failures, learning from them, figuring out what to do better. They'll just thrive and be happy and know that it was them. And I think that's one of the best things we can give our kids is real self-esteem and confidence that they can be the best version of themselves, whatever that is.
I agree. I wish I was taught to be the boss of myself when I was younger, because I think that sounds a lot better to say I'm the boss as opposed to let's go find this Windows for Dummies book or whatever.
Right. You know? Yeah.
I'm going to go in the boss section and find, you know, the book that says I'm the boss of me.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I absolutely agree.
Yeah. And if you, you know, if we start them young and your girls read the book, did they like it?
Yeah. I feel like Becca related to it more than Mandy though, because Becca's older, but.
Funny story. So we read the book and you didn't, you saw me record my wife reading it to them the morning after, but I read it to them that evening, and Mandy, our 3-year-old, kind of scooped up the book in the morning and like brought it downstairs and was walking around with it for a little bit and was like paging through the pages because, you know, it's bright and colorful and it kind of relates to her. So.
Yeah.
And it has animals in the corners and you can say, hey, what does the cat say? And it has numbers. And there's all kinds of ways to do it. What I'm finding is that the kids are loving the message and that they pick it up. And because how many kids do you know? I know every one of your daughters has said this and the one that's youngest will be soon says, you know, you're not the boss of me. And so this is a new concept of, wait, I am the boss of me. And instead of telling our kids what to do, like, go do this, go do that. You know, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. You give them the awareness to go, oh, wait, I can make a good choice. I'm the boss of my choices. Oh, and if I'm not making a good choice, somebody else is going to come be the boss of me. Oh my goodness, not that, anything but that. So the stories I get from parents of the kids that one of the parents sent in, you know, my 2-year-old had no interest in reading, none. My 5-year-old loved it, pointed out the lion, the whole bit. But then the 2-year-old, after reading it one time, instead of throwing the book across the room, will not put it down and is walking around with his linen. He pronounces it apparently linen. I like the linen.
That's cute. That's very cute.
So I'm glad your daughters like it, because I'm hoping that it's something that, and really it's to help parents. It's to help us raise our kids so that we can sleep at night. I mean, like literally sleep at night.
Yeah,
like, go, now go be the boss of you and go to bed.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Because that was one of the hardest things, other than the mouthy child, it was getting him to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my two biggest, things as a mom. And I only had one. I was one and done. And I am so amazed by people that have more than one child. You guys are amazing. How do you do it?
Yeah, I'd say bedtime for us is the hardest, because it is, in nap time too, because our 3-year-old Mandy, she now knows that she can say 5 more minutes. She doesn't know the concept of 5 more minutes, but she is constantly asking for 5 more minutes, and it's annoying. So maybe we'll use that tactic where you're like, are you going to be the boss of you and put yourself to sleep?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It is so... it's so nice to flip it on them, to say, hey, you want to be the boss? All right, then you're in bed in 5 minutes. Otherwise, you're not going to be the boss, and I'm the boss of your bedtime.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Let me know how it works.
Oh, yeah.
Because I would have given anything for something to work back then.
Right?
Yeah.
Didn't have that concept.
We'll definitely try it out and see if flipping it around on her works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was the hardest thing about publishing a book?
So was publishing it. I am self-publishing, and this is a board book. So I was looking at, I'd done all the research. I thought I was going to do print on demand, so it could be available by Amazon and Kindle and all these other different things, and anyone in the country could get it, and it would be this wonderful, easy thing to do. And then I found out that print on demand does not print board books. So I had to find a printer that printed board books. Mm. And that's not easy to find. There's actually only one in the United States that I could find. They do all the Boynton books. I don't know if you know the Boynton books, the Hippo Birdie to Use. She does all the little animals with Peas on Earth. Mm-hmm. She was really big back in the 80s and 90s. And that, so I, of course, got all her books for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And she still has a lot of them. But it was actually finding that printing company up in New York. And then it was finding somebody to format it. Because my artist is amazing. I have the most amazing artist. Oscar Stashwick is just phenomenal. People tell me his illustrations are just fantastic too, and the kids love them. So that was kind of easy. He just brought my words to life. Then it was, okay, now I have this. What do I do? So he wasn't a formatter. I had to find a formatter that could professionally format it so that the professional printer could print it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I had to order 1,020 books.
Oh, wow.
Because that was the smallest order they came in.
Oh, wow.
So then I had to do that. And then back just this past February, they arrived on February 10th on my front doorstep, 1,020 of my books. And so now this next part is getting them out to everybody.
Yeah.
The hardest part, finding somebody to print them.
Man.
Yeah.
Did not realize it took
much
work.
I didn't know that there was only one in the U.S.
Right,
too.
I didn't either.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. If you're interested, I'll be happy to. They're fantastic. But they're all these, since I'm not a professional printer or publishing company or anything like that, they have specs. They have words. There's an entire language that they're like, we're going to send you the Epson proof. And I'm like, great. Mm-hmm. Is that a printer? Like,
what does that mean?
Yeah, no, like it needs to, you need to make sure it goes out to the bleed. And I'm like, ooh, did somebody get hurt? What's going on? And they're like, it needs to be a 3-millimeter bleed. I'm like, is that how deep the cut was? I'm not understanding. So fortunately, I was able to find a formatter who sat back and was like, don't you worry about it, mom. This is where I'm just a mom. she said, I've got it handled. She was able to format it, get it sent in. They sent the Epson proof, which is like this beautiful, glossy, what the book will look like. Mm-hmm. And I had to initial each one to make sure it was exactly the way I wanted. And then they sent me a real copy of the book, the first copy of the board book. And before I opened it up, I ran into me and my husband, you know, we work from home now because of the pandemic and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I went in and I'm like, honey, it's here. So we sat down on the sofa. We opened up, you know, their Federal Express little envelope thing. And I pulled it out and I started tearing up because it looked just like I wanted it to. It told the story. I knew the background story of it with me and my son. Mm-hmm. And it just was 13 years of trying to get this started and jump started at different points in time. And it just wasn't happening. And it sat there at the end of January and it was sitting in my hand. And my husband gave me a big hug and he's like, you did it, honey. You're an author. So it's been a lovely labor of love.
That's cute.
Had to be a huge accomplishment that you've checked off. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything? Yeah. So speaking of accomplishments, and we know that you've been very accomplished by what you've said earlier. I have just kind of off topic, but you managed a band, right?
Yes, so I did.
How does that compare to being an author?
So I love managing a band. We toured the U.S. We toured with like Porno for Pyros and it was a jazz band on top of it all. So it was a really wild, crazy, wonderful way to spend your 20s. And we went through Europe and stuff. But this is way more satisfying because in that instance, I was helping a bunch of wonderful, creative people make their dream come true. Mm-hmm. In this instance, I'm making my dream come true. And it's the first time I've really sat back to make my dream come true. So it's similar because it's creative and it's exciting and it's, you know, it's creating from scratch. Mm-hmm. But it also, this is a labor of love for me and my son. So, so it's kind of a neat, it's very personal. It's way more personal.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely something that you've created yourself as opposed to, you know, trying to get somebody else's message out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And they had a great message, too. They were a fantastic band. They were called the Flying Neutrinos. And we were on some movie soundtracks. And we, you know, we did all kinds of crazy, I mean, really ridiculously fun stuff. It was right after the movie Swingers came out. And so we just skyrocketed and had a blast. But writing a book, and I'm in my 50s now. You know, that was my 20s. That was a fantastic way to spend your 20s.
For sure.
Now I like to sit around. I have, there's a child psychologist here in the Washington, D.C. area, mm-hmm. Dr. Amy Parks, and she has three different practices called the Wise Family. And she got her PhD from Johns Hopkins. She loves children. She loves the brain. She's this amazing, amazing child psychologist. And I showed her the book and she said, okay, send me 120 copies. We need to get this into every single preschool that we can. And last week she donated, there's a nonprofit called All Ages Read Together. Mm-hmm. And their graduations were last week. They have about, I think they have a 18 to 22 preschools in the Northern Virginia area. I'm not sure exactly the amount, but she donated to every single preschool child that graduated. Oh, wow. And she went last week and read at a bunch of the graduations, and they've created a song. I wasn't there. I was stuck in Florida in the gas crisis, which is another story. But so she read the book to the graduates. The graduates went home with them. It was like, you know, Oprah, and you get a book, and you get a book, and you get a book. But, you know, preschool level.
Right.
And they started singing a song, and I'm going to the graduations this week, and I get to be Oprah. And, you know, we're tag teaming up and making sure that all the kids get them. We're making sure that the, and Amy's providing them all. Dr. Parks is providing all of them.
Wow.
So it's just a way, she just believes that this is a book that every child needs.
Yeah.
And that's where I go back to, I'm just a mom who had a mouthy child.
Right.
And, but it's so wonderful to see all these professionals just saying this book is a must have for children and for their self-esteem and their personal safety.
Mm-hmm.
There's this other aspect of it that children can say, it's my body and no, you can't touch me.
Mm-hmm.
And it, that's, this book opens up that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, age appropriate, you know, you don't go up to a 2 year old and start explaining things, but you sit back and you say, you know, you're the boss of your body and you're the boss of, you know, this, that, and the other. And, you know, as is appropriate, you tell them that. And I had no, I will pretend that I fully intended to have that as one of the themes. I didn't know about that. I hadn't thought about that in forever. My son's 20. So I hadn't thought about that in forever. And knowing that this book may help even one child, you know, fend off some unwanted, you know, advances is that it makes my heart sing that it can be used that way. So so that's exciting.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
And I know when we got your packaging and I opened it, you sent some great things. We got stickers that my kids used and a couple pens. And, you know, you even gave us a book to donate, which my wife works at a preschool, so she's going to be donating the book there.
I do, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. I have a whole sponsor preschool program. If I win the lotto, I'm just going to print them all and give them to every preschool in the world, but I haven't yet.
I'm working on it.
I'm still a struggling author. And you know, with, I just sponsor the preschool program is where you buy books at a discount, donate it to the preschool, like Amy is doing. You can put a sticker on it saying donated from, you know, the priest family. And then you get to sit back and make a lifelong impression on children from a very, very early age. And and oh, did I give you guys the temporary tattoos? Did you get those?
I think we did.
Okay. If not, I'll send you some. Here's how you use those. So when you're going to, after you've kind of indoctrinated your kids into being the boss of themselves, I mean, the boss of their behavior, when you go out in public, you say, okay, I'm going to, let's put a, you know, a lion tattoo on you or a girl's tattoo on you, and you put it on the arm there. You can be across the room. You can be in the other side of the yard, wherever you are. And if your child is doing something, you just call out their name and you go, hey, you know, hey, and they look at you. You just touch your arm where their tattoo is. And, you know, you're across the yard. You can't, you don't yell, stop doing that. You just go, hey, and you touch your arm. And they know that whatever behavior they're doing at that moment is not being a good boss of themselves. So it's a way to kind of, right?
Yeah.
And so it doesn't embarrass them. It catches them in the moment. It sits back and it can, and they can run over and go, hey, what was I doing? I don't know. And then you can say, oh, well, you were, you know, hitting with the Nerf sword a little too hard, you know, whatever the behavior might be. And then they can run back. They're not embarrassed. They're not, you know, they get to keep their self-esteem. And, but you're having nonverbal communication.
Right.
So that's pretty, I think that's a really exciting thing. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that's smart. I never would have thought about that.
Nope.
We'll have to use that.
Oh, yeah.
Mandy.
And,
poor Mandy.
Hey, Mandy. Then she looks at you, touches the arm. She looks around. What am I doing? And the thing is always giving them a safe place to fall, right? So they can come running over and go, I don't know what I'm doing. What is it that I'm not being a good boss about? And then you can tell them right there. Now, it will take several times doing
that. Oh, I bet. Yeah. For sure.
Nobody gets it on the first try. I think it took me about 3 years from that 7-year-old to finally get him to understand to keep his mouth closed. And even then.
Yeah.
Even then. He's 20. He still doesn't.
Well, I feel like we can talk to you all day, But right. I know we've got other pressing things, but I wanted to leave our listeners with something a little bit light and a little bit more fun. So can you tell me one of your favorite memories of either being a mom or being on the road?
Yeah, let me see. Okay, so one of my favorite memories, being a mom has been the most amazing thing I've ever done. So I want to go lead with that. And then I'll tell you something that's non-mom related. But one of my favorite memories being a mom was actually, you know what? It was just this Mother's Day. My son is 20. Mm-hmm. And we went down to Florida to visit him. He's down at, he has a full academic scholarship to, the seventh best public university in the U.S. So as I say, I'm the boss of me or the beating's paid off. I don't know which. Since I didn't beat him, I'm hoping to find the boss of me. but he came up to me, gave me a bundle of roses, and he said, and he's looking down and he's like, Mom, I got to tell you something. And I'm like, oh gosh. He's lost his scholarship. Something's happened. What? I'm like, yes. He's like, I hate to say this. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. He goes, you were right. And I'm like, what? And he said, you were right. I'm like, about what? He's like, everything. And I'm like, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Honey, can you come here? Owen's telling me this. and it was that to me summed up. And he continued, like today we were texting back and forth and he was going on about how he's very proud of how his friends are coming to him for input on relationships and mm-hmm. what they should do about their college and things like that. They think he's very wise. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm just spouting off the things that you told me. And I guess I finally have to admit that you were right. And, mm-hmm. and as much as I can sit back and say, oh, that's an ego thing. And it makes it all worth all those hard times because parenting is so hard mm-hmm. and it's so not appreciated. Even when you have the best partner in the world, when you have a bad day that just goes sideways with parenting because either you're tired or your child is tired or the world is tired or, you know, whatever is happening, it goes sideways and you just feel exhausted and like nothing to make it better. You know, there are little champion things that happen. And when he did this past Mother's Day, it was after, you know, I think possibly everybody's worst year in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And it just was, that was my favorite parenting moment ever. And then my favorite just being a person moment was when I got caught in the pyramid in Egypt when all the lights went out.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. That had to be scary. I don't know what I would do in that situation.
I panicked and I went flat against the wall.
That sounds like me.
That's about right.
That's
yeah.
about right. Yeah.
And my friend who was with me, Lisa, she went running past me out the exit and I could not move. You couldn't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, that's how far in the pyramid we were. And this was back in the 90s before there was, you know, a big fancy show, but that was when I panicked for the first time in my life. And I knew I was panicked because as they were calling down going, Casey, where are you? Casey, are you okay? My mind was saying, and I didn't say it out loud, but my mind was saying, be quiet. The mummy will still know I'm here. and I, you know, middle of the day, I hadn't had any, you know, smart cocktails or anything like that. I just was in pure panic mode. But,
for sure.
But I love it because it's a story I can tell. Hey, mm-hmm. did you get caught in the pyramid?
Right.
No, I did.
I did.
Yeah, I'd be afraid the mummy was going to come get me too.
Right.
Seen way too many mummy movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny Quest. It was Johnny Quest for me.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on, and hopefully we can have you on again with an update for your book.
Yeah.
Yes. The next one is almost ready to publish.
Yay.
So I hope to have it by the end of July.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I love your podcast. I've been listening to it. Uh-huh. And I really appreciate you giving me the time to talk about my book and to answer questions. I want more questions. Those are so much fun.
I know, right?
They definitely are. We definitely like to have a little fun before we get into something a little serious.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, everybody be safe.
I'll mask up.
Wash your hands.
Practice safe social distancing.
And buy Casey's book because we all love it.
Thank you. Yeah, they can get it at www.imthebossofme.com.
Awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, Casey. We loved having you on.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
You too.
Thanks.